So, Jesus, life and times of Jesus, life ministry, he had just healed the demoniac, cast the demon out of him, you know, legion of demons, pigs die. Then he goes around, ministers, he heals the woman with the issue of blood, the Jairus' daughter gets risen from the dead. And so that's right after that we're picking up. And Jesus went around. Come on, phone. It's wanting to do sideways. Why? Come on. Here we go. There we go. Technology. You got to love it. So it says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. When he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Go put new batteries in that. Do you believe that I am able to do this? They said, yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let this be to you. And their eyes were open. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. But when he had departed, they spread the news about him and all that country. So Jesus, doing miraculous work, people are hearing about it everywhere. And those people who are desperate are seeking him out. Two blind guys hear that Jesus is going by. They heard that Jesus was going by because they didn't see him go by, because they're blind. So they heard that Jesus was going by, and then they started crying out, following after him. Which is pretty amazing. Makes me wonder, how were they following after him? Because they can't see. Somebody must have been leading them. They didn't know where Jesus was going, but they're following after him. And they're crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, they were crying out, okay? They weren't just, Son of David, have mercy on me. They're crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. They're desperate. They're crying out in a loud voice. They're making a declaration, declaring Jesus, Son of David. They were declaring, you are the one that is promised. You are the King of Israel. You are the Son in whom God promised, sent to the fulfillment of Scripture. 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 and 13. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That's the promise that they're crying out. That's what they're saying. Jesus, Son of David, they're referring to this prophecy, that there will be one. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish his throne forever, his kingdom forever, forever. Ezekiel 37, 24 and 28. David, my servant, shall be king over them. Now, you remember, this is Ezekiel. This was after the Samuel, David was still alive. Ezekiel, David is dead. King David is dead. David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes to do them. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwell, and they shall dwell there. They and their children and their children's children forever. My servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and they shall be everlasting covenant with them, and I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they will be my people. The nation also will know that I am the Lord. I, the Lord, sanctify Israel, and my sanctuary is in their midst forever. How's that sound? Okay. Good to go. Now I can stop worrying about holding that thing. All right. So here we are. Here's the prophecy. Right? That he will establish a king for over them. David, my servant. He shall walk in my judgments and my statutes and do them. And they will dwell in the land. They will dwell in the land. So you're talking about having safety and security in the land. You got to remember, the Israelites have constantly been kicked out of their land and brought back and kicked out and brought back. And right now, they were back, but they were oppressed by the Roman government. The Roman government controlled Israel. And so here they are. It's not their own land. And that their children and their children's children will dwell in safety. You know, they didn't dwell in safety. You know, if Rome wanted to go into Africa to conquer something, it had to go through Israel. Anything in that direction, they had to go through Israel. And you have these armies going back and forth. You have all this instability going on. Be my prince forever, moreover, I'll make my covenant of peace with them. We know this. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave you. Not as the world leaves, I leave it with you. Not as the world. Then he's the prince of peace. And it says, it shall be an everlasting covenant. Everlasting through Jesus Christ. We have everlasting life and everlasting covenant. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will establish them and multiply them. 120 people. He will multiply them. And I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. The sanctuary. The sanctified place. It's where the Lord is. My tabernacle shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God and they shall be my people. We are his people. When we come to Jesus and we declare him as Lord, we get translated from the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of his Son. We are his. He is our God and we are his people. Because we've made the choice. Well, what if I don't want him to be your God? Okay, then we need to talk. We need to have some conversations because you'll not find a better God. The nations also will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel. He sanctifies you. He sanctifies you. That's what makes you worthy. Him. And this is what these guys are crying out. They're saying, Jesus, Son of David. And they're declaring it. Now, the scripture also tells us that the rulers of the synagogue had said, if anyone declares that Jesus is the Messiah, they will be cast out. They will no longer be allowed in the synagogues, in the religion. And that's a big thing back then. That's where a lot of internet networking and business things were done. Everybody was part of it. And if you cast out, then you're on the outside and you can't interact. And so they're willing to make that choice and say, we understand, we see who you are, and we're going to declare it. We are going to declare that you are the Messiah. And so here these two blind men are seeing the kingdom. They're recognizing it. Though they couldn't see physically, they could see what God was doing, and they began to declare it. And it says that they cried out. And it says, verse 28, when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said, do you believe that I am able to do this? Now listen, Jesus was on the way, he was walking, he was traveling, he was going somewhere, and these blind guys, two blind guys, start crying out, Jesus, Son of David. And it says that they continued to cry out until they came into Jesus when Jesus was in the house. Jesus didn't stop until he got where he was going. He did not acknowledge him, he didn't turn to him, he didn't say anything to him, he just kept going. Well, sometimes it just doesn't seem like Jesus is responding to me. You know, I just don't feel like God's paying any attention to me. And in a way, it's a little bit free advertisement. He's got a couple of criers going behind him as he's walking, declaring that he is the Son of God. You know, maybe you just need to spend a little bit more time declaring the Son of God. Maybe he wants some free advertisement from you. Maybe he wants to hear you declare his goodness and his glory instead of how you're not getting what you want and what you believe you deserve. And start declaring the goodness of God. God is good. He is great. He is gracious. He is loving kind. He is the Son of God. And he is the one in whom we all have to answer to. And he will do what he promised to do. He will do what he's promised to do. We will see 120 people. We will see the physical area change. We know it's changed in the spirit. We will see it change. If we continue to stand and believe, because they could have stopped and they said, well, he's just ignoring us. Let's go home. Or let's sit down here. Remember, alms. At any point, but they kept going. They were determined. They came into Jesus and Jesus said, do you believe I am able to do this? What kind of question is that? It's a simple question. You know, it's like a pop quiz. Do you believe I am able to do this? True or false? It's the best kind of test. True or false? You got a 50-50. Yes. So here, Jesus is asking him, do you think that I can do this? Yes, Lord. They didn't even hesitate. Yes, Lord. He touched their eyes and he said, according to your faith, let it be. According to your faith. They showed faith. They showed their faith. They weren't willing to give up. They were making a declaration as they went that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, that he is the promised King in whom that they have been looking for to establish their nation forever. You know, and we could say, oh, there are those ideologies, those belief sets that say that God is going to restore the kingdom of Israel to all of its glory. Be very careful with those ideologies, because we know that Jesus came to establish the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, oh, you think that you're the children of Abraham? He said, I tell you that God could raise up from these very stones children of Abraham. This is like, when Jesus died and rose again, he created a new covenant. He fulfilled the old one in his death. And he created a new covenant. And now we are the children of Abraham. When you see a prophecy in the Old Testament about a blessing of the children of Abraham, we are those blessed children. We are the children of God. We are even greater than the children of Abraham. We are the children of the Son of God. And we have a greater blessing. That's the lesser blessing. This is the greater blessing. And when it's talking about the king and the blessing, we are the partakers of the fulfillment of that. We have a king. We don't need a king. We have one. His name is Jesus. And these blind guys understood that. And then Jesus says, according to your faith, let it be. Their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that you tell no one. Don't tell anyone. And what happens when you tell somebody to don't do something? Now, I heard somebody talk about this, and because I've often wondered, why does Jesus tell them not to say anything? And I heard somebody, it may even have been Andrew Womack, talking about this, and he made a very interesting point. He said that when Jesus' name got out there and everybody knew about him, he couldn't move in normal society. He couldn't just go from house to house. He couldn't just walk through a city because the masses would come to him. And he was trying to limit that so that he could continue to minister to people as he went. And then it got too big. You know that when your ministry gets really, really big, it's hard to minister to individual people. So Jesus, it seems like Jesus was trying to contain that a little bit and say, okay, let's keep this small and intimate right now. I'm not ready for that. But as people are, they tend to do what they want, don't listen to God, and just go about and do whatever, and the news about him went into all the country. Verse 32, okay. As they went about, behold, they brought to him a man who was mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it has never been seen like this in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casts out demons by the ruler of the demons. We've talked about this before a little bit. We'll probably talk about it again. But the Pharisees were constantly saying, this guy is, it's demonic power. He's weird, he's strange, he's doing things that we can't do, so obviously it's demonic. He's doing it by occult practices. He's doing voodoo and witchcraft. No, he was doing it by the hand of God. He was doing it because he knew he had the authority to do it. And people who are carnally minded, those that only see what they can observe or hear or feel or touch, carnal minded, always have a problem with spiritual. Because you can't understand the spiritual in your natural mind. You can't. We have to understand the Spirit by the Spirit. And if we're not alive spiritually, then we won't understand. Jesus tells us that. He says, in order to see the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. What does that mean? You must be born of the water and the Spirit. If you're not born of the water and the Spirit, then spiritual things are a mystery that you don't get it. You're like, this is weird. This is all those weird people. Now, granted, those out on the spiritual side, some of them get a little far out there on the weird. They want to see how far they can go. And we just bless them and pray for them. But when we step into the spiritual things and we begin to operate in the Spirit of God, and we begin to heal people by the hand of God, we begin to cast out demons, and we begin to declare the mysteries of God, we begin to speak forth prophetic words and knowledge and wisdom, that people are going to look to us and say, oh, they're just a bunch of cultists, or they're using spiritual mumbo jumbo. They'll say it. They're using demonic powers to do those things. Why? Jesus tells us that a servant is not above his master. They've persecuted me, they will persecute you. They call me
They say that I cast things out by, you know, the devil. What are they going to say about you? So we need to know where we stand with God and understand that when we have opposition, it's not God. It's not God. It's the devil. He wants to stop you. And you say, nope. Nope. And if you're having a hard time, that's why we have a body. That's why we have one another. That's why we're connected together. Oh, I'm having a really hard time. I feel like, you know, this happened and that happened. And I can say, listen, you're doing the work of God. You're doing the work of God. You're healing people. Just ignore them. I know, it gets hard. It is hard. To be, you know, ignored and called vile names and discounted, and I get it. Okay, I'm determined to finish this section. I even told Amy that I wouldn't be long. Of course, she was telling me, yeah, you say that. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sick and every diseased among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered and like sheep having no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. I've got more. I've got more, but I'm not going to go there. But I'm going to say this. Jesus said that the harvest is great. The harvest is there. There's always a harvest. You know, sometimes it's small. Maybe one or two. You know, in those really hard areas, you can, you know, if you're really good, you can grow pretty much anything anywhere if you know what you're doing. I can't do that. You know, I have a hard time with gardens. I'm working on it. I'm determined. I'm good with peppers. I'll just tell you straight up. I'm good with peppers. I've always had great jalapenos and bell peppers. It's the other things like carrots and lettuce that don't work. Anyway, I'm getting off track. But Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he may send laborers. You know that when you pray and you ask God to send laborers into the harvest, that you are joining your faith with somebody to stand up and declare the gospel. And when you have had those times when you've shared the gospel with somebody and the power of God was just flowing, you know, you just sense it when you're talking and ministering to somebody and the power of God begins to flow, you're joining with people that have been praying to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. Prayer is an important part of this. And that as we pray, we can join together as a group. It's not just one, it's many. Then beginning to enter into the harvest. Some people are more gifted and able than that, than others. Some of us are introverts. And you know, we're not good with lots of people. Then there's other people who are extroverts, who can talk to anyone and go anywhere. And they have an ability. And we can pray that God uses both of us. Because there's people that extroverts can't reach. And introverts can. Introverts can reach other introverts. Extroverts are just a big party. I mean, they're reaching everybody. But we can pray. And when you pray and you ask the Lord of the harvest, ask in faith, knowing that God is going to empower somebody to preach the gospel, to declare the good news, to declare the truth of God, to speak truth. And it's like sometimes it's planting, sometimes it's watering, and sometimes it's reaping the harvest. But we can all pray and see God move because God has made a change in this area. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are sending laborers into the harvest. Lord, we are willing to be laborers in your harvest field. We are willing for you to use us to declare your goodness wherever we're at. Lord, we don't always know what to say. We don't always know who to talk to, but we pray that you would just lead us and guide us, and that it would not be a struggle, that it would not be difficult, but that it would just be easy, just like a natural conversation, just speaking the truth of God and the love of God and bringing freedom to those that we come in contact with. We just give you glory and honor today, and we thank you. We say happy Father's Day. Bless you and exalt you forever and always in Jesus' name. Amen.